Have you ever walked along an abandoned railroad track, skipping from one decaying railroad tie to the next, or maybe trying to balance one foot after the other on one of the rails? Imagine for a second what the ground below the railroad looks like. Is it covered in gravel, scattered with trash? Maybe pine needles or leaves? What plants are nearby? Is there a light breeze? What do you smell and hear? Hi, this is Ellie, and welcome back to another Urban Ecology Explainer. Like last time, I've chosen a scientific article to read and share with you. This article is titled The Soil Seed Bank and Its Relationship to the Established Vegetation in Urban Wastelands. It was published in the Journal of Landscape and Urban Planning in 2011 by a group of four researchers working in Munich, Germany. There are a few key terms that drew me to this article, so before we dive in, let's take a moment to define them. Two are in the title, soil seed bank and wasteland, and two are keywords that help me find the article in my search: disturbance and alien species. Let's start with the title, which begins with the phrase the soil seed bank. So, what is that? If I read the phrase a few years ago, I might have thought they meant a seed library or a seed vault where humans store seeds for future use. But the seed bank they're referring to in this article is actually not that kind of seed bank. The soil seed bank refers to the living seeds that are all around us in the soil, all the time, not stored in vaults, but rather stored by cool, dark earth. Some seeds can stay dormant in the soil for years, decades, even centuries. If I walked out of the studio right now and somehow managed to pry up a piece of the sidewalk outside of the sanctuary, the soil beneath it would have seeds in it. And if I exposed that soil to water, sunlight, and warmth, some of those seeds would probably sprout. That's the soil seed bank. So in the case of this paper, these researchers were trying to study the soil seed bank, the dormant seeds stored in the soil, in what they describe as an urban wasteland in Munich. Of course, this term wasteland has lots of common meanings. My computer dictionary defined it as an unused area of land that has become barren or overgrown, which seems kind of weird. Barren and overgrown seem like opposites to me. But basically, they mean a place most people see as unpleasant or unproductive somehow. In ecology, it has a more specific use that relates to post-industrial landscapes, kind of like the way I defined brownfield a few weeks ago. A patch of earth that has been intensively impacted by humans, often for infrastructure or heavy industry, then left alone. So the folks who wrote this paper were interested in what kinds of seeds are hiding in the soil in neglected rail yards, which they define as wastelands. The two keywords I pulled out, disturbance and alien species, also relate to this wasteland idea. Like wasteland, disturbance has lots of general meanings, but a very specific meaning in ecology. It refers to the process through which habitats get disrupted, either by human activity or other means, like a hurricane, a landslide, or even just a tree falling over. When a tree falls in a forest, it uproots the soil at its base and creates a gap in the forest cover where light and rain can come through to the forest floor. This kind of disturbance can create an opportunity for seeds in the soil seed bank to sprout. Usually, the plants that sprout first are those that need lots of light and grow really quickly. Ecologists call these plants pioneer or early succession plants. They are important in jump-starting recovery after a disturbance. Weather and geologic processes create a lot of small and large-scale disturbances, but over recent centuries, as I'm sure you know, humans have been disturbing habitats at an increasing rate. Who is responsible for this and how it might be curtailed is a topic for another time. Anyway, our researchers for this study are interested in human disturbance. This takes us to the final term I'd like to talk about before we look at the paper, and that is alien species. I find this term super problematic because, although, again, it has a really specific meaning in ecology, I can't help but connect it immediately to the troubling language used around migration and immigration today. Like I think that people can't be alien, we're all from Earth, I don't think it's appropriate to call a plant or non-human life form alien. I like the less value-laden term introduced, which I'll use from here on out. The researchers who wrote this paper don't mean they are looking for evidence of plants from Mars when they say alien. They mean plants that were moved, usually by humans, to Northern Europe from elsewhere on Earth. This kind of categorization is common in ecology. And for this paper, they divide plants into native, introduced before 1500, and introduced after 1500. Okay, so now that we've got that out of the way, let's read a bit of the paper. And if you're just joining us, this is the Urban Ecology Explainer, and I'm reading from the Soil Seed Bank and its relationship to the established vegetation in urban wastelands. It begins like this. Until the 19th century, urban areas in Europe were small. Many streets and yards were unpaved, and subsistence farming with livestock and crop plants was common. This situation changed with the beginning of industrialization. Since then, large areas with a network of settlements, traffic, business, and industry have been built up. This urbanization has led to a patchy mosaic of new ecosystems. Today, urbanization is ongoing and has become one of the key processes associated with global change. So that's the beginning of the paper. That's the end of the quote. So in setting this out, they advocate for the study of these new fragmented city habitats because they're different from historical ecosystems, and we're seeing more and more of them as our cities grow. So these researchers are particularly interested in urban railways, where, as they describe it, disturbance is severe. They say construction starts with a leveling of the ground to prevent the train cars from rolling around. Then the soil surface is covered with track ballast, this is like gravel or something like that, to prevent the tires from rotting. And then remaining patches are frequently built over or paved. Most of the original vegetation is either destroyed or covered in soil. So they want to know what kind of potential this disturbed land has to rewild from the soil seed bank. To figure this out, they do a germination test to see what seeds are in the soil. Now, while it might sound complicated, a germination test is actually one of the simpler ecology lab procedures I've come across. We're actually doing some seed germination tests at the Nature Lab across the street from the sanctuary right now. Basically, you go to the site you're interested in, you pick a plot to sample from. Researchers do this randomly to attempt to avoid bias. And then you dig up a pint of soil. It's a good idea to brush away the leaf litter and other debris before you dig, and they had a special method. But really, you just dig out a few cups of soil, take it back to your lab or greenhouse, spread it out on some sterile potting soil, give it some water and light, and then you wait to see what grows. They did this for a huge number of plots all over Munich's railroad yards. They sprouted more than 12,000 seedlings from 124 different species over a period of 2 years. Lots of work. So what did they learn from all this? Well, they had a lot of takeaways. I'm going to try to cover a few that I thought were interesting. One thing was that the community of plants that sprouted from the germination test in the lab were different than the plants they found growing wild near the railroad tracks. In the lab, they sprouted lots of species that are known as herbaceous annuals and short-lived perennials. This means that they only live for a year or two. Think wildflowers, herbs, leafy green things without woody trunks or stems. Some of these were rare native plants. Some of them were introduced weedy plants. Either way, most of them were the kind of plants I talked about earlier, those that do well when the soil is disturbed. So those were the plants that grew in the lab. Out in the landscape where they collected the soil, they saw some of these plants, but they also found long-lived perennials, like trees and shrubs that might live for decades or centuries. These plants weren't well represented in the germination tests in the lab. So from this, they concluded that if the rail yard was left alone, long-lived trees and shrubs would continue to grow there, and the habitat would become more like a forest. And they also guessed that if it was disturbed again, the seeds in the soil would sprout, and we'd get short-lived grasses, flowers, and herbs coming back. They saw more introduced plants in their germination test in the lab than they did native plants. So from their perspective, they thought it would be good to avoid disturbing the soil so that they wouldn't get more introduced plants. They're more interested in native plants. So, of course, in our urban ecosystem in Troy, we have a lot more diversity than just rail yards. We've got streets and lawns and gardens and parks and parking lots, abandoned lots and houses, industrial and post-industrial habitats, all mixed together. And our city has been growing and changing for hundreds of years. So what kinds of seeds might be hiding in the soil underneath your lawn or sidewalk? Maybe a wildflower that was common in 1600, but we never see anymore. Maybe a wild medicinal herb that was brought by an immigrant from Europe or Asia 200 years ago. Or maybe just a dandelion seed that was buried 30 years ago when the foundation for your apartment building was poured. Next time you're walking around outside, try to imagine what kinds of life might be dormant in the soil beneath your feet. And if you're as curious about the secrets of the soil seed bank as I am, let me know, because I'm doing a little art science experiment this summer, looking at the soil beneath lawns and parking lots in Troy, and I'd love to get a soil sample from you. As always, you can find me at the Nature Lab from 4 to 6 on Tuesdays, and you can reach me at Ellie at ellieirons.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye.